music from Syria, from the album Taraf Syriana. And the piece is Asala Mugabala Faik, with a thank you to Dan Rosenberg, who is the producer of much of the music that I receive in the Dropbox. So the show goes out for healing as ever, and right now, especially to the people of northern Syria, whatever their ethnicity, and to the people of southern Turkey, Gaziantep especially, to the Baz family, where I stayed in Gaziantep, 1966. So, Hope and Sue and Reva and Linda, Margaret, Bob, all in need of healing, and I think that covers just about all of us. And we do have some exciting happy birthdays today. I just came from a birthday party. Well, it was Zoomed, but because it was London, New York, Long Beach, California, and Astoria, Oregon, so a big happy birthday to my sis-in-law, Vivian, Adele Vivian, and coming up in the next week to Wendy and to Susan, and also locally to Yvonne and to our very own Liam. And also today, a big happy 10th anniversary goes out to the Pilot House Distilling. Yes, right here in Astoria, 1270 Duane. They've also got a place in Cannon Beach. And folks, there is a party. They're going to be highlighting their ocean-cured, ocean-aged whiskey. And between 5 and 8 this evening, everybody, I think you have to be over 21, but yes, you do, I'm pretty sure, is welcome. So happy birthday. And now, before my first guests open their mouths, I've got some music to introduce them.
Bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me. Your company. Aunt Claudia went to town to buy a new slip, and Uncle John went fishing on a 3-day trip. So bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me. Fred, if you bring it over here, and the preacher won't know, and the neighbor don't care, so bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me. Guitar.
Around if you can play the fiddle.
By cracky, I can play a little.
Bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, you might recognize that music, although you might not recognize the voices, and my guests are going to tell you who those are and why we're playing them. So I am welcoming Rachel Siegel. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Thank you. We're here because of Rachel, but we wouldn't be here without my other guest. I think if you've lived here more than a day, you know, and that would be Dinah Urell. Hi, Dinah.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
And thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, invigorating and thanks for doing
the arts.
You do.
Yes.
Same thing. Dinah is the publisher, editor, writer, everything person behind Hip Fish. For how many years?
25.
25 years. A fabulous asset in our community. Some years ago, there was a big fire where Hip Fish office was on the river, and everybody there lost their space, and they had to find new space. And Dinah got smart or lucky or whatever it was and got a terrific space, which she created. The office upstairs and downstairs is a beautiful open space, which is a gallery and a performance space. And so you're getting the picture, right? Why the music? That was the performance part of it. And Rachel is the gallery part of it.
Thank you.
So, Rachel, have you been on KMUN before?
No, this is my first time, but I listen all the time. So this is exciting to be on the other end.
Well, I'm excited you're here. Have you been on radio before?
Once, actually, speaking of the music you heard, yes. Tave Fashi Drake is the lead singer for Girl Haggard, and we were just listening to a song from Girl Haggard, which is an all-girl cover band of Merle,
right.
And Tave is the lead singer, and she's going to be out here on Saturday night for an after party at Kala Space, and she has a podcast
on Kabu,
and I've been on her podcast.
Right.
So that's where this all is going. Sorry, that's a long-winded way to get there.
No, that's good because
peace, love, and soup.
Well, peace, love, and soup. Yes, and I've met actually Tave has been here, but you introduced Kabu. Kabu was our mother station, is our sister station because we're community radio, and we are celebrating 40 years on the air.
Congratulations.
Yes, and yay. So Kabu helped birth us, and that's important. So it's a nice combination there, and I want to congratulate you for being here on your first time. This, you were a virgin and you are no more. So congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great. Now, Rachel is here because, as I say, she is the artist in the Kala space. And the show is called Then, There, Here, Now, a mini retrospective is what I've read. So you consider yourself, what, a multidiscipline?
Yes, I do a lot of different things with art. I got a degree in photography, but I do video and installation and mixed media, collage, digital prints. I do a lot of project-based work where I have an idea and I create a project, and it might be a particular material for a particular space or medium. And then I try something else, and I have a different project.
Well, I appreciate this because that word project showed up not that long ago, within the last 10 years, I would say max. And people doing their CDs would call them projects. And I'm going like, okay, is somebody living in the projects? What are we talking about? What does that mean? And you've just sort of explained that in a way. So you have an overall view, and it's not like you wrote 10 songs, you painted 10 pieces arbitrarily and put them together. It's more like you came to them intentionally.
Yeah. So, and I've done a lot of collaboration too, mm-hmm. but for the show at Kala, the reason I called it a mini retrospective, which is an oxymoron, is that I'm pulling from projects, different projects over the time period, and I've got a lot of things tucked away and stored,
okay.
And I thought I'll pull out some old work, but I also will make some new work, mm-hmm. and that's the then they're here now
right,
part
right,
of it.
Right. I like that. You say it's an oxymoron, except you're not very old compared to some of us. And so maybe mini retrospective is okay. But how did you get to photography? Were you doing all kinds of art and then you chose photography? Or was that always your main thing and then you broadened out?
Well, I think I've done photography since high school. I you know, made images and did a lot of photography in high school, and it was a favorite form of art, but I always like to dabble in drawing and other forms of art. But, you know, when you go to school, they sort of make you specialize.
Was this an art school or was it a regular college?
Well, I went, my undergraduate went to UC Berkeley and I did a general art degree and I did painting and mm-hmm. Drawing and some photography and some video and that sort of thing. But for graduate school, when I went to graduate school, you had to pick.
Okay, yeah.
And that's when I picked photography as the basis.
Can you articulate why?
Well, I've always been drawn to photography as a form of image making, but I don't often use it as a straight form. Mm. I use it in other ways. I use it to draw on for doing other things, illustration, cutting up, making collages. So I've been doing it for a long time, and I do some straight photography, but most of my photography gets integrated, mm-hmm. and it's a way of... In a way of stopping and meditating on the moment and looking at things and slowing down. And so I take a lot of photos that I probably will never show that are just like, it's so beautiful out. I'm going to right. just take a photo. It's just a part of, I think, a way of thinking about things, stopping in the mm-hmm. moment and slowing down.
So have you, I really don't know how old you are except that you're heck of a lot younger than I am. So have you always been doing digital or did you start with film camera?
Oh, no, I started with film and I would spend hours in the dark room. Yeah. And I had a dark room in my home as a young person in my 20s. And I'd spend hours and hours in there and working on an image. And now that everything's digital, I haven't been in the dark room for quite a few years. And, you know, everything is so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wouldn't mind being back in the darkroom. It's just I don't have all that equipment anymore.
That was part of my how did you choose photography because of the various art forms. It seems to me, unless we're talking about marble sculpture or something, that's one that takes a lot more equipment than, say, watercolor. And it's not a question of difficulty. It's a question of stuff. You really have to, you know. So, but.
Yeah, my mom was an artist, and she had a studio. And in the back of the studio was a bathroom that I could use as a dark room. And so somehow we inherited a bunch of equipment, and I just was able to set it up. And I think, you know, use dark room equipment, you can still get, you know, around.
Right.
And so it's pretty easy. What I think is interesting about traditional photography is it's remained the same and you can use the equipment and continue. And once you set up a darkroom, it's set. But with digital, you're always having to get a new computer every 3 years.
Upgrade all the time. That's a really, really good point. And we do have in Astoria a fabulous, right, couple of doors down from Dinah's Kala. Is Lightbox.
Oh, yeah, I'm a member.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
they're great.
And those shows are all over the map, too. And
so. I'm excited about the show that's happening Saturday. So after people come to see my show or before, they should pop in there, too.
Yeah.
I think it looks like a fabulous show.
Now, Dinah, you're at 1017?
Yes.
1017 Marine Drive. is Kala, where Rachel's show is going to be. And wait, folks, we're not done yet. You wouldn't think that Dinah would just sit here. No, she's got a story to tell, too. But the light box is literally two or three doors down. And Brumfield Gallery is right there, too. It's become quite the scene. And in addition to using all of these, the themes of time and place, environment, landscape, do you photograph people as well?
I have photographed people.
Or animals or any of that kind of
thing. You know, I do photograph people, and there are some figurative images in the show, and mostly in a symbolic way.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be exciting to see. I can't wait. I haven't seen the show yet, so I'm looking forward to it. And I love this, embodiment and disembodiment. Okay, folks, we're not going to ask her about that. You're going to have to get over there and say, now, will you be able
to... We should have had the show during Halloween.
Oh, well. Will you be at the gallery?
Yes, we're going to be there from 3 to 8,
okay.
And I should be there most of the time. Maybe I'll duck out a tad
right.
to see these other shows.
Right.
But I probably will be there that bulk of that time. And and then at 8 is when...
Okay, now that's over to Dinah's part.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. First of all, we go back to... Now, I say Tave Fashe, but it's not... How do you say her name?
Tave Fashe, and then she has Drake that she uses sometimes.
Right, to make it simple for people who can't get into the Tave Fashe poem. Octavia, I love her. Her name is beautiful. And she's why we play Girl Haggard. Now, what's happening at 8?
And then after Tave does her set.
Tave is going to do a solo set?
Yes, Tave will do a solo set, and she's going to be playing ukulele, and I think is her main accompaniment instrument. And I think that she plays some other wacky instruments.
Okay.
perhaps a nose flute. And I play
Jew's harp.
I play the nose flute very well.
I play my nose, but that's another story. Okay, and then from
and
9
then,
to 11.
And then, da-da-da-da, DJ Gaia will be coming to play a couple dance sets. So it's like a community dance. Everyone's welcome. As many as we can fit into Kala.
Right. Funky Vintage International Soul.
Funky Vintage International Soul.
That's quite a title.
I know. And I'm like, I wonder what that's going to be like because I don't know. And DJ Gaia is, she's not like a professional DJ, but she is a person who loves music. And she, too, is an artist, a photographer, an installation artist who lives in Brooklyn but grew up here in Alney. Janine Olson. You know Janine Olson.
I probably do.
You do.
But since I grew up in Brooklyn and live in Brownsmead,
there you
we're kind of, you know.
Yeah, you traded places.
Right.
Yeah, so Janine will be back here visiting, and she's like, I want to do a DJ set.
Oh, that's going to be great.
And so she loves music, and she wanted to do DJ and karaoke, and I'm like, let's work that one out later.
Okay, so folks, depending on who's there, you never know what's going to happen. But this is Kala, again, is 1017 Marine Drive. And Rachel, have you had a solo show in Astoria? Is this your first?
Or? This is my first. So I moved here just 3 years ago during the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, good time.
And a lot of things were not happening, but I'm trying to get involved in the art community. I've joined AVA, which also has a fabulous show of
Everybody's
fish.
Everybody's got them. Yep.
Yeah.
So where did you come from?
I was living in Portland before this.
Okay.
Previously.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rachel and I met before at the Tenor Guitar Gathering, and that's coming up in June. You'll hear more about it later. Right now, I just want to thank you both for coming in. Thanks for bringing Girl Haggard. And Dinah, thanks forever for all the stuff you bring and make happen in this town for all these years. Dinah, of course, is a local. She is a local Finn, and that's why we have Gala.
Gala.
Yes, you got to pronounce it.
Minä olen suomalainen tuttu.
There you go, folks. I'm Suomi. That's the only word I know. That's Finland. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you. Sinua.
Okay, I'm going to
thank
place.
You. Thank you, Carol.
I've got some more music for you coming up, and this is from a couple of wonderful local musicians who I think you will recognize. Both of them actually have been programmers in the past, one in the far past, one in the near past. Thanks for being here, KMUN Astoria, KMUN.org. You can always drop me a note at carol@KMUN.org. Oh, this is so hard to bring this album down. The good news is I own this album, man, so I can listen to it other times. And if you're smart, you may want to own it too. This is, I believe this, is this your latest album?
Yes, it is.
It's called Passages, and that was the voice, and before that, the music of Kim Angelus and her magnificent musicians. Actually, I use the word magnificent for Kim because she is that. And she is one of our world-class musicians on the violin. And to her right, my left, is another fabulous local musician. And that would be Jennifer Goodenberger, our composer and pianist. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Carol.
So, Jennifer was a programmer here. I told you both of them are former programmers. Jennifer was here at the beginning
yes.
of KMUN, yes. So that goes way back.
Way back. And I was just saying to Kim, I only programmed in this building about maybe 6 months. I was always in the old space.
With the 4,000 stairs?
Yes.
We were all in better shape.
We were
then.
In great shape.
That was the top of the Gunderson building, and
yes.
There was no elevator. Let me tell you, those stairs were steep. Bernie could never have done his show from there. He comes in with 14 boxes, you know. So, and Kim, when did you start on the air? Do you remember?
2006.
And you stopped for COVID?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So I did it 14 years.
Right. Well, and you may be back. Because there was a reason you stopped. Jennifer, I don't know what your reason was.
I don't know.
You were doing, yours was classical music.
Yes.
And Kim was world music. And she would take us on a whirlwind trip every show. It was quite exciting. She would tell you where you were going. You learned a lot about geography and culture as well as fabulous music. Well, each of them makes the fabulous music, and coming up on February 19th, that is a week from this Sunday, they are doing a concert together at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, which we refer to as the Larson Center because that's too many words. And it's at 3 p.m., so it's an afternoon show, which is terrific for a lot of us who don't like to drive at night. And are you calling it Romancing the Larson Center?
Yes, we are.
CLC, okay. I think we decided.
Oh, CLC.
Yeah, CLC.
Oh, it's getting shorter and
well,
shorter.
It just rolls off the tongue, remember?
Romancing the CLC. Well, it used to be Romancing the Pack.
Right.
Now, that was, tell us, Kim.
Well, that was a concert that my late husband, Yosef Galt, and I would put on every February, back when it was called the PAC, or the Performing Arts Center, and Yosef was the technical director or manager, and then he became the cultural coordinator. So he was very, very involved with it.
Of the Performing Arts Center.
Right. Right.
He was also
right.
a programmer here at KMUN.
Yes, he was.
We have a big family, folks.
Yes.
And so you two did that for many years.
We did. And the
Always
last...
a benefit.
Yep, it was. It was That's what the romancing part was about,
right.
To show it some love.
Right.
As much love as possible, always sometime close to Valentine's Day. And as the years went by, the Super Bowl started to get in the way.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. That's really funny.
But it did.
That's
so
funny.
We just made little adjustments.
Okay.
And the last one we did was 2016. So, 7 years later.
Wow.
Woohoo!
This is so exciting.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be fabulous. Now, what I should mention, the piece that we played was Tango de Paco.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about that piece? These two women are both, as I think I failed to say, both of them are composers as well as playing some other music of other people. So what's Tango de Paco?
Tango de Paco was inspired by one of my collies, Paco, the walking one and only. I danced with him every single day.
Oh.
He loved to dance. Yes. He was,
yes.
Oh, he was graceful, long-legged, gorgeous dancer. I've never had a dog before or since who danced like Paco.
He had a lot of energy, Paco.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yes, that's another one of Kim's activities is collies and what's that? Agility.
That's right.
With the collies. So
that's right.
So what is this concert going to be about?
It is, well, a lot of romantic things. If you think of dance music as being romantic, like I do, we have a paso doble, we have a habanera, we have two tangos, we have a waltz. And then, if it's not danceable, it's totally romantic. In fact,
ooh.
We have romance in
we
the program.
We have one piece called Romance that I composed.
Uh-huh.
And another piece that our working title is Celine after Celine Dion because it sounds like a piece that she would sing.
Okay.
But it's also up and over the top romantic piece of music.
So now, I understand, and I think everybody understands, if the words to the song are all about love and hugging and all that kind of stuff, easy. What does it mean when you call a piece of music romantic?
Oh, that's such a good question. In the case of Celine, this piece, it's just incredibly passionate piece of music. It requires us a lot of passion to play it. You know, we're just completely emoting our hearts out when we play this music.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece that was called Romance, I was thinking of it in a lot of ways, like the romantic poets and a romance in that way. It's more a little bit more interior, thoughtful, and yet it also has a level of passion to it.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
So are you two writing Celine? Is that?
So that's one of my compositions.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how do you work this? You haven't written pieces together. You each have pieces that you've written or are writing, mm-hmm. and then you learn each other's work?
Yes. Yes.
And does the composer give the non-composer liberty to add or subtract or improvise, or how does that work?
Yes, absolutely. I wrote a little harmony part for Celine, and then when Jennifer's playing the piano part, sometimes I write out the piano part, but many times I don't. Many times I just give her a violin part with chords,
mm-hmm.
and she is free to mm-hmm. do what her heart says.
Mm-hmm.
And I also listen to her recordings and try to get an idea of, but then she had a whole band with
her.
That's
what I was going to say. When I mentioned on this album Passages of Kim Angelis, the magnificent musicians are 8 mm-hmm. musicians in addition to yourself. Jennifer, I don't think you should try to.
No, but what I do, like for one piece in particular, like Lavender Farm, it's like a belly dance.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And it's and
another
so
dance.
In my left hand, I'm trying to really be percussive with my left hand so it's sounding like drums and things in my left hand, and then harmonies and things in the right hand. So I am adding a level of percussion just with my style of piano playing in those kind of pieces.
Right, yeah. Right. When there's just the two of you, you fill in for some of the parts.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful. And what's your relationship to the CLC, formerly the PAC?
I started being associated there. I think Dinah gets the prize for being the first person that's still part of our community to have been involved with the PAC. Mm. I came in the next year. I came in the year after Dinah started working there. So I've been working there since 1977 or 79.
At the college?
At the College Performing Arts Center.
Oh.
And I started taking classes there because they had a music department.
Okay.
I was musical directing theater. I was giving solo piano concerts.
Oh, my.
At some point, I started being a teacher there. And also just musical directing. We had an incredible theater department in those days.
Yes, we did. We had theater, we had music,
yeah,
we had
dance. I was working with the dance department, working with
Vicky. It was fabulous. And it could be again.
It could be.
Now that we have it in private hands, which mm-hmm. is the partners for the PAC, it would be wonderful. The college kind of, we were all affiliated with the college when we were doing those classes. It was mm-hmm. so rich, and it would be lovely. So, and you came in much later.
Yes, I did. 20 years ago.
That's a goodly. Well, you know.
It still counts.
That's good.
Okay. Good.
No, it's not 50, but 20 is good.
Right.
It's great. So, Romancing the CLC, Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts. And that is 16th and Franklin. The concert is the 19th of February at 3 p.m. There is lots going on there. You can go to Charlene Larson Center and on the computer, if you get there, or partnersforthepac.org, and see what else is going on. There's lots of stuff happening. We'll be featuring it here. But in the meantime, on the 19th at 3 p.m., Romancing the CLC with my guests, Kim Angelis on violin, Jennifer Goodenberger on piano. And Kim, what are you going to wear? Oh, you don't have to answer.
Oh, it's yes, kind of oh, yes. I will
oh,
answer.
Oh, yes, she does.
Okay. All right. Tell us.
Okay. Well, I ordered clothing from a flamenco shop in Barcelona.
Oh, my God. Really?
I did. For the first time in my life. Thanks to Etsy.
Wow.
One can do this.
I want to tell you the reason I asked that question. That's a surprise answer. Is that Kim always created, not just made, but created these fabulous dresses and skirts and all kinds of outfits and never stood still when she was making music, always danced. So it's going to be a fabulous concert. Jennifer is mostly sitting.
Yes.
But I've seen people climb all over their pianos, but that's not your thing, is it?
I did a set of photography where I was inside the piano and doing all kind of stuff like that. But when I play, no, I just sit there.
Okay. And Jennifer also has a strong background in classical music and playing it, writing about it. But these days, she mostly writes her own music, does a lot of Celtic music. So very exciting duo. Thank you so much for coming in, two of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
And have a fabulous concert.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, I've got one more set of guests. And, and this is going to be long distance. Long distance, and we've got some music for you. This is a group called
Naturally.
Is he calling? Oh. Called Naturally Seven, and you'll hear about them. Let's hear some of their music. Here's what I need to tell you, though. Sorry for all the whispering. What I need to tell you is that this is an a cappella group, entirely a cappella. According to Quincy Jones, the greatest a cappella group in the world. Everything you hear is done by their voices. So let's have a listen and bring you a couple of fellows.
Set of footprints in the sand, and you wonder where I am. Cause it was hard for you to see that the man you saw was me.
Cause if you fall, I'll catch you.
Cross my heart.
You wonder why I have to.
That's my part. Don't worry, you're not alone.
Gets colder.
If you should fall,
I'll pick you up.
And that just makes us closer and closer.
I'll comfort you, so don't you worry.
I saw you wounded down in pain, and I heard you call my name. What you didn't know for sure is that I knew you would be far.
Cause when you said I caught you,
you fought so much.
You didn't know I thought you
knew my touch. Don't worry, you're not alone.
That word I told you, I promise.
I promise.
When the cold just gets colder,
if you should fall,
I'll pick you up.
I do what I have to do when it comes to you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, I hope, if all goes well, that I've got Roger Thomas on the line. Roger, are you there?
I'm right here. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I loved your song. That was that was quite wonderful. Whoops, it's gone now, so I can't even tell you. Oh, yes, it was called Comfort. It had the word comfort in it. I wrote so many.
Comfort too.
That's it. That's it. So Roger Thomas is the co-founder, principal songwriter, and arranger. And am I right, you're a baritone?
Yeah. So baritone, or we call it tenor four now. I'm sitting the fourth tenor down from the top. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll let that be out there for all the professional singers. But I already told people this. The name of the group is Naturally Seven, and yes, there are seven people. They've been around for 20 years, and a cappella. And I mentioned that Quincy Jones said, you are the greatest a cappella group in the world. And I think that carries some weight. But you know what? After hearing your song, I don't even need that, because I've been listening to a couple of the songs online. Thank you. And thank you, Nick. And thank you, Bruce, for helping us to connect. Your group is playing at the Columbia Theater in Longview, Washington. So, folks, put this on your calendar. It is this Thursday evening, the 16th of February. And this is a real score. Where are you? Are you guys all located in one place, or are you spread out all across the country?
We used to be. We used to be in New York. We're all originally from New York. But now none of us are still left in New York. We are in, three of us are in Atlanta, one is in Los Angeles, one in Virginia Beach, one in Huntsville, Alabama, and believe it or not, one is in Berlin, Germany.
Holy cow. Now, are you all appearing in person at the Columbia Theater?
Yes.
You are
yes,
on
all
tour.
All seven of us will be there.
Okay.
Not to mention, we can't do really what we do without all seven of us.
Okay, and I'm going to let you explain this process, because I saw it called Vocal Play. I understand that you toured with Diana Ross last year and Gladys Knight the year before, which I'm envisioning sort of a backup kind of effect. Is that how that worked? Oh, and by the way, Roger, just for the record, I'm also from New York, Brooklyn, and I live in Oregon, so...
I thought I was hearing a New York accent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We know each other. So how does that work? Because when the seven of you are singing together, you're all making these incredible sounds. I got to watch the video, which shows me what you're doing. But people who are just hearing the music, it's hard to believe that it's all by mouth. So how does it work? And then what happens when you're playing with someone like Diana Ross or Gladys Knight or whoever?
Right. So in the playing with Diana Ross or Gladys Knight or Michael Bublé, usually that usually means that we grace the same stage as them, and maybe they wanted to do us, they did a song with us or whatever. But we are our own band. We are our own background, lead vocals.
Gotcha.
Everything we do, when somebody hears the seven of us, they believe that they're hearing a full-blown band. Everything that they want to hear is inside of those seven voices. So we call it vocal play, and we often say that a cappella is when you sing without instruments. Everybody knows that. But vocal play is when you become the instruments.
Oh.
And so people are going to hear a bass guitar, bass synth. They're going to hear drums, all sorts of percussion, DJ equipment, lead guitars, rhythm guitars, brass sections, harmonicas. They're going to hear all of that, and it's just going to be our seven voices.
Okay. Now, maybe it's a trade secret, but is there something you can tell us, for example, which instruments do you become, and how does that happen? Where does this come from?
Okay. Where does it come from?
Yeah.
It really came from us wanting to be different, you know, wanting to do something that is, you know, when somebody hears a couple of bars of the Bee Gees, they know it's the Bee Gees, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hear a couple of bars of the Beatles or Earth, Wind, and Fire, they know who it is. So we wanted to have something that we could say, that at the end of a show, somebody could say, I have never heard anything like this in my life.
Nice.
That is our goal. We tell people to expect the unexpected. And so the voice is one of the human voice is one of the most diverse instruments, and it can do a lot of things, and it has a lot of range. And so we become all of those instruments and then sing a song on top of it, where people believe that, oh my goodness, I'm hearing what I think is an orchestra right now, or a chamber quartet, or whatever it is that, you know. And we don't stay with one genre, you know. It's not R&B or hip-hop. It's not just pop. Shoot, we might do a little bit of country. We might do some classical. We might do some jazz. We might do. We don't allow ourselves to fall locked into any particular genre.
Nice.
When people ask us what, you know, they say, is it this? Is it R&B? Is it gospel? Is it funk? Is it pop? We say yes.
Okay, so you're the kind of band that makes it difficult on a radio station that needs to put that CD somewhere on the shelf in jazz or blues or folk or class, you know, and you're all of the above.
Unfortunately,
yes.
You are correct in that area, except for, of course, if they want to play a particular song, that song is usually falls into what, you know, a category, right?
Right.
Falls into a category.
Right.
It's just that in a show,
we're not going to be
limited to that category,
which is so exciting, and means that whatever kind of music a person favors, they will find it, and then some. So
that is what our audiences tell us all the time.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, you're all from New York, but did you grow up together, or did you find each other in the music world? How did this band or this group come together?
Nice. I am a part of a brother duo, so we have two brothers in the group. My brother is the one that is the vocal percussionist. He's the vocal drummer. So of course we found each other a long time ago. The others have come through time. We have four original members from 20 plus years ago, and three that have joined us since that are at least a friend of a friend of a family member or something like that, somewhere along the lines. We've never done like an open call. It's been everything's been nice and close, kept into the family, because not only do we have we, you know, got some really talented guys, but we also are pretty nice guys. We like to, you know, we like to be around each other. We find ourselves on the road, you know, 100 plus dates per year. And that's now. Before, you know, before 2020, that was probably double that.
Oh, right. That slowed you down, of course. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And does, have you been, you and your brother and the others, been singing forever? Do any of you actually play physical instruments?
The instruments that we
yes,
imitate.
Yes.
So we all grew up, for the most part, singing in church.
Okay.
You know, we learned. We got a musical ear. We learned music by ear. Some have gone on since then to, you know, to study minor in music and that type of thing. But we are, we easily, we just kind of come together. I mean, it's just it's really a godsend how we do what we do. It just happens that, it just so happens that we are. Everybody had to be able to do an instrument. Everybody had to be able to do an instrument, and so it's truly a beautiful thing.
What instrument do you do? Now you said your brother does the voice and the drums.
The drums, right? So quite a few of us do guitars. I do guitar. I do keyboards. I do brass instruments. And I'm oftentimes I'm the MC in the in the group, and I'm also the arranger. I do a lot of songwriting and arranging in the group.
Well, it's quite wonderful, and for that comfort, comfort you piece. There's a photograph of the seven of you in sports jackets or suit jackets, no ties, but you sure look like a handsome bunch of dudes. So, I don't know how old the picture is, but you're seven New Yorkers out here in Longview, Washington. What an opportunity, folks. This is the Columbia Theater, and it is on the 16th, Thursday night, this coming Thursday night at 7:30, you can call, actually just go to Columbia Theater, and that's Columbia without an N. The N is for the local Astoria one. This is ColumbiaTheaterRE.com, and you can check it all out. It's at 1231 Vandercook Way in Longview, and check out this fabulous show. And thanks to Hank, your manager, who set this up with me. We went back and forth quite a bit. I'm so delighted that it worked out. And thank you, Roger Thomas, with Naturally
Seven. Are we going to see you there?
Well, if I can make it back from where I am, I will love to be there.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. It's going to be. It's going to be really great.
It is. It's going to be exciting too. This is unusual for around here. So, thank you so much for joining me, and I'll be in touch.
You are more than welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye now.
Take care. Bye bye.
Okay, folks. That is so exciting again. Naturally Seven. Look them up. A cappella. At the Columbia Theater. And what else is happening? Way too much. Again, from 5 to 8, happy birthday to the Pilot House Distilling, focusing on the highlighting their ocean-aged whiskey. Coaster Theater opens Guilty Conscience. I featured them last week. Fabulous. That is Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 3. It runs through the 25th. 4 p.m. right now. Run on over to the 1015 Theater, 1015 Commercial, for an interview. It's going national with Mick and Gigi. And the let's see. Oh, the Columbia Theater has a film show going on tonight, too. And then Saturday night, Catherine Rose. And tomorrow, Saturday, is Art Walk. It is going to be amazing. Don't miss it. And Bay City Arts Center, 7 o'clock, has a concert, Love Me, Love Me Not, for Valentine's, of course. Labor Temple, 7 to 11, is featuring rock and roll, a couple of bands, three bands. And the Cannon Beach Library at 2 o'clock, Willie Vlotten, he is amazing. Northwest Authors Series, in person and virtual, Tales and Tunes. And then the Sama Dams, I featured their music last week. They are 7 o'clock at the Sou'wester, and that was a Nevy's Buds. Sama Dams, they're great. 4 o'clock tomorrow, Johnny Connolly and Julian Piper, Sean Gavia, and that's my favorite instrument. That's 4 o'clock at the Peninsula Arts Center. And then Sunday, a wonderful show with Hideki Yamaya on Musica Maestrali with historical mandolins, 5 o'clock at Grace Episcopal. And the Pacific Slam is going to be at Maggie's on the Prom on Sunday evening. And they that Maggie's on the Prom a few weeks ago. McTavish is featuring Jazz on the River, 6:30 on Tuesday with the Mel Brown Trio. And the Pacific Slam at the Workers Tavern on the 15th on Wednesday. And stay tuned, KMUN.org. Thanks for being here.